What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Shinigami Love Apples podcast, episode 8. I'm your host, Shinigami Pinpin, and I'm joined by Shinigami Yuyu. And you're going to have to forgive us because this episode is going to be filled with sniffles, snuffles, and nose blowing and other bullshit. I will do my best to edit that shit out because this is an unedited podcast, but today is going to have to be an exception for sure. for those of you who don't know, it's allergy season. And if you don't have that problem, fuck you.
Well, the funny thing is, in this case, it's not just allergy season. You're just allergic to things.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about in the things are fucking dumb section. We will actually talk about what kind of fuck up I made. Because this is all my own doing.
Yeah.
And I can't be too upset because I even predicted it. I was like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to suffer for it. And that's just how that went. So, anyway, Yuyu, how was your week? Oh, you know what? And while you do talk about that, I'm going to grab the fan.
Oh, yeah. my week was good. I feel like I fell asleep Sunday night and now it's Saturday morning. I really don't know what happened during the week. It's just one of those weeks where the work was boring and that was about it.
But what was it up? Oh, okay. So it was kind of a pleasant life.
I just showed up, did my thing. Yeah. Played a little Genshin, watched some anime, went to bed. Nothing to report on.
Nice. All right. Fair enough. For me, actually something I want to catch up on this week. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to try to talk slower since I keep getting consistent feedback from listeners that I talk very quickly. Yeah. So I'm going to try to talk a little slower. It's going to take 50 episodes before that finally sinks in, but we're going to work on it. excuse me. So this week, this past week, I started learning Japanese again. And this sounds a little, I don't know, self-righteous, because this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've resumed learning Japanese.
Yeah.
But it's every time I've had to stop, it's because either, and like, I can't make excuses. Mm-hmm. I really am the only obstacle to my own success.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to make an excuse, I do have a valid excuse for most of the years I worked at my current employer in a different operating role, because the role I was in, the job I had, was just too nightmarish for me to even contemplate trying to have anything on the side. Mm. Now, to be fair, in the past 2 years, I've been in a different position and I really don't have much excuse. Although during busy season, I'm dead and there's no way I could ever hold down studies. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened this time I was studying really well. I got through my first collegiate level course of Japanese. And then come August, I think last year, it really wasn't so bad at first, but probably around September, it just came crashing down and I couldn't hold down the effort anymore. It was too exhausting. And it's hard for me because I'm looking for a payoff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm looking for that emotional payoff that comes from, wow, I learned, you know, this new language and I can say these new words and I can go use this somewhere. But if I'm cooped up at home, or at work,
right,
and I don't have any time to get out and use it, well, it starts to feel not great. okay, that tissue box just wanted to visit another dimension.
Yeah.
But I'm just grateful I've restarted because I haven't forgotten as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
The grammar's kind of come rushing back, and I'm just proud of it. I'm proud to be doing that again.
Well, the thing too is, even though you've come, like, I said come and gone. You didn't leave it. every time you've like took a pause and came back to it, you do always still go forward. It's not like you're catching up to where you were and then stopping. You're still progressing past that. So,
yeah, and that's the challenge too, is like always moving forward. You know, not doing the whole one step forward, two steps backwards thing.
Yeah.
Constantly not having to make up work. So this week, it's time for ASMR. Hold on.
Oh, that was a good one.
That had a satisfying pop.
The thing is, like, the air, I was holding onto it tightly, and it was pressurizing, so when I let go of it, I squeezed the can, and the air came out, so it was extra ASMR.
I squoged. So, every week...
Mommy, I squoged. I squoged in my bed.
Oh, no. Well...
Wow.
In terms of service violations aside, follow up pop. It was loud enough to get past the gate.
Oh man, here's the thing. I really want a muscle mommy in my life, so I can
just look at her and she goes, "I'll get this for you," and just flick, and it just beheads the can. Mm-hmm. And one girl on Instagram who just like she pops open like. There's this one girl on Instagram she's Korean, but yeah, she pops open her drinks by just looking at them. I don't know how she rigs it or what. I don't care, but God, hot. Flick open bottle.
I need
throws it across the table and then somehow doesn't spill. And you're just like, what the hell?
I need a motherly figure in my life.
Ooh.
Anyway, the coffee that we opened is from Georgia, not the country, not the state,
the brand. Company. Yeah. Georgia coffee. It's funny,
which is made by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But it's from Japan.
Yeah, we got an import can of it. We're going to try it. Hold on, I want to try it. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
It tastes like Circle K. Just the normal, like, you know when you go to Circle K and they just have, like, the glass... coffee pot, but it's one.
Yeah.
Because
the iced coffee one.
No. It's still the hot coffee, but not the one that comes out of the machine that like, but they have like the actual like handled glass.
Oh, the carafe. The carafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called, but that one that's like, it's always up in the top corner you don't know if you're allowed to grab it or not. And you don't know when it was made. That's what this tastes like, but like in a good way.
Yeah. It's like,
I feel like I'm in like, some tiny little town in the south, and I went to Circle K to get some coffee at like 2 a.m.
Oh. Well, this reminds me, it's like road trip coffee.
Yeah, nostalgic.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, because the can we got had like a single shot.
You could literally drink this in two seconds.
Swig. Yeah. I'm going to be opening my can of UCC coffee. Oh, man, today's just juicy pop-tops, man. Because I'm going to have that. Are we sharing this or is this mine? Or
No. Okay. I have my other drink.
Wow. That's really off the back end of that black coffee. That is very, very sweet. All right. Anyway, there's nothing for us to backpedal on this week. Mm-mm. This is usually the part where we tell you all the mistakes we made. So if you think we're not doing our job and we're not catching enough mistakes, well, we have an email for that. It's shinigamiloveapples.podcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
Point out our fuck ups.
Yeah. I guarantee you there are things that we should have backpedaled on. Well, you called them a fuck up. I mean, I kind of talked over you, so maybe they missed it and I just brought it up again, but
come on. If you are not sending us fan mail or hate mail, don't send us the weak sauce in between.
Yeah.
Oh, I like your podcast.
Unless you're a muscle mommy.
Oh, are we making exceptions for that? Okay.
Fine. I need one.
Oh, well, you know, that's fair. That I can't argue with the logic of that. Yeah. but anyway, send us mail and point out our fuck ups, and then I'll stop calling you fuck ups, listeners. Oh. Anyway, so this week, really good week for me in anime. Absolutely unhinged week. Now, of course, we have the stuff I'm already watching, like Mash Hole, Solo Leveling, which continues to be mid. Don't fight me, not you, the listeners.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you haven't seen it yet. But Classroom of the Elite. I'm not going to spoil anything because you and I are going to watch it together, and we're going to rewatch season one and season two, and then I'll watch season three. We'll watch that new together.
Yeah.
Absolutely unhinged. I don't know. I like psychological thrillers. There was this. There's another anime I want to talk about at some point called Psychopass. And I just like gritty psycho thriller stuff. I just really enjoy it. I think it's because of just the way my autistic brain works that I really enjoy puzzly sort of nothing is as it seems, expectation subversion.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that kind of content. I think it's why Sherlock on BBC was so appealing to me, because like his version of Sherlock, the Benedict Cumberbatch version, was very puzzle oriented as opposed to sort of just very sharp, very good at observation.
Right. Yeah.
And Classroom of the Elite, I'll summarize it without any spoilers. I know that's rare, so don't worry if you're listening to this. You don't need to tune out for this. The best way I can summarize it is a class in a very particular school that is set up to prepare kids for the adult world. Mm-hmm. This class decides that they're going to rise through four ranks, D, C, B, and A. They're class D. They're going to rise through the ranks to become a class A, to become the elite class. Thus, classroom of the elite.
Gotcha.
But to do so, their school has decided that academics are not going to be enough to evaluate their abilities as adults. Mm. And the school decides to do other very fucked up things to determine whether or not they will succeed in adulthood. And
they have to like pay taxes, or get divorced.
Yeah. The fucked up things is that they have to go get a job.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. I'm a millennial. I don't want to work. Say the boomers. What's interesting though is, the things that the school asks them to do are fucked up psychologically, but there's no indication to you as a viewer at any point that any of it is. You want to know? I can make the perfect comparison without making any spoilers. They are Vault-Tec from Fallout.
Mm, okay.
The thing they're doing is very honorable. Mm-hmm. Vault-Tec is going to preserve you from nuclear annihilation, and that's going to save you. But you definitely know there's some other shit going on by the things you hear about Vault-Tec. And then post-war, the whole veil falls and everybody suddenly realizes how shitty Vault-Tec was. This is that exact thing where the classroom of the elite is the school on the surface appears to be looking out for the kids by doing what needs to be done to make sure they are prepared for a very harsh adult world. Except the way they go about it, once you've been past an episode, you look back on it and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, no, that's, that's traumatizing. Huh. And the series has consistently stumped me with expectations of version and a very discomforting sense of there is something much deeper that's way more fucked up going on. Mm. And at some point I'll review another anime that relates to this called School Days. Mm-hmm. Not a funny anime at all. It's a psychological horror anime. And the whole thing is it's a, you know, high school anime that has this undercurrent the entire time until it just snaps, like has this moment where the whole anime just goes off the rails in a very dark direction. Classroom of the Elite is edging towards it. It just constantly, on a week-by-week basis, you get this stronger and stronger feeling in your gut that something is off. And because you can't, at no point does the anime show its hand. The story writers are not, they're being very subtle. So since you have no hints as to when this is all going to go down, you just constantly live in this fear of this is fucked at some point, and I know I'm going to really, there's going to be some episode somewhere where this is going to hit the fan, but it wasn't this episode. Okay, here we go to the next one. And you're in this constant existential dread. I enjoy the style, and I think it deserves its rating and everything. And I'll eventually review it once we've actually watched it. Maybe we'll do a double review on it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. That could be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. What you got you got some anime this week, or are you going straight to music?
No, just going straight to music. I was basically just, I've been catching up on anime, so I'll talk about that in a little bit, or in the next week or two. Music, I wanted to call out. So one of my favorite musical artists is a Vocaloid called Yami Online. She's like hyper pop trap rap.
Oh, okay.
Vocaloid.
Wow, that does. I played her before,
when we were on our road trip, the last leg. That's what I was playing in the car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Yami, I love her to death. She's great. The guy who actually makes the music for her, his name is Deco.
Okay.
He makes his own music, and then he makes Yami Online's music, and then they do collaboration albums together. They just put out a collaboration album. Now, it's probably my least favorite, actually, of all the music they've made. It's definitely worth checking out, but I just wanted to point that out there, or put this out there, that because I figure a lot of people that are listening to this podcast probably like Vocaloid music to begin with, and if you don't know who Yami Online is, like you absolutely need to go check her out. It's great music. It's done extremely well too, and it's in English, and you don't like mishear, like it's not weird and choppy, and like I don't know what he did, but he absolutely perfected the vocal
algorithm
sound.
The way
she could tell she's a robot, but she also doesn't sound like a robot.
Fluid. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just to pair with that, there's an animator, the guy who does all the animations. His name is Ocean World.
Okay.
Which is spelled like
Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ocean. Yeah.
Yeah. But pronounced Ocean. Deco, Yame Online, Ocean. Go check out all their stuff. It's great.
That's cool. She has texture loading hair. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
She has unloaded texture hair.
Yeah. That's so she, yeah. If you watch the Ocean World stuff, he does actual like animations with it. So like, obviously he does the music videos, but all the characters actually interact with each other and have like a storyline. And there's a bunch of other characters. There's also like Lil Hard Drive, who also kind of sort of made music, but didn't really pop off. So he's kind of in the background. But yeah, they're all, everything within the Ocean World is great.
Very cool. Yeah, that's pretty neat. And you know what? That tracks really well into the artist I want to kind of highlight this week. There's an artist I follow called, I can't find pronunciation, so I'm just going to assume they're going with the whole clever pun here. They're called Cult or Culty. And it's spelled C-V-L-T-E. They are a Japanese rock rap group. That's the only way I can really phrase it, because they cover both genres completely. Like, for rock, everything from pop rock to metal to grunge. But vocally and non-guitar, everything from hip-hop, trap, rap, hyper pop. They cover everything. It's this interesting blend, and I'm noticing that a lot of my musical tastes are exotic blends of some form of wacky electronica and or high production value track mixed with just grunge guitar of some sort. I just like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which I'll cover them at some point. But Culty, it continues to just, and the lyrics are really cool to me, because I don't know enough Japanese to translate the lyrics on the go. That's just not a realistic achievement for me. But I do have the lyrics shown to me, and I have them translated. And I've noticed in the Japanese press, let me actually get the name of this person so I'm saying this right. Okay. So Aviel Kai, I believe is the name. I'm trying to read it correctly. It's very difficult, actually. Yeah, Aviel Kai is the vocalist for Cult. It is Cult. Okay. And his lyrics are very heavy hitting. So the Japanese are very sort of, apologies to those of you listening from Japan, but to most foreign nations, the Japanese seem pretty closeted about their feelings. I don't mean that in like a LGBTQ or sort of political sense. The Japanese are just not very vocal. They don't wear their hearts on their sleeves. They're kind of, they keep to themselves.
Yeah.
And Cult's lyrics are very heavy hitting, very not meant to be pop music. When you listen to some of what, it's almost like American emo or American modern punk. Just the lyrics are very heavy hitting, and it's just really pleasant to listen to, because I don't mean pleasant as in, oh, it brings me great joy to listen to this guy talk about how much he suffers and why he wants to pop pills or kill himself or whatever. Yeah. It's some dark stuff, but at least it's honest, and you can, and the vocalist, Kai, has talked multiple times about how he has been on the fringe of mental health issues. And I'm sure there's so many people in Japan who struggle with that, just knowing what their work-life culture and the bullying culture there is like. And he just turns all of these things into song lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it's just very open. Yeah. And I think that's why I like it so much. And combined with the really excellent production value, I mean, it's a win-win. Great lyrics and great production. It's kind of hard to top.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, next up. So video games we're going to track back to, because we have an entire serious shit section today dedicated to video games. So don't worry, you're going to get your moment. And before you hit your pop culture item, I just want to hit mine real quick.
Yeah.
I want to point this out. If you are listening and you are easily triggered by any sort of like emotional, how do I want to put this? All right. If you're one of those people that's triggered by talking about death or stuff, all right, let's have a moment of maybe don't listen. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z, died this past week. He actually died on March 1st, according to records, but he was publicized this past week. I'm going to provide two avenues to this, and we're not going to discuss it a whole lot, because I want to give respect to an actual person and with an actual family, and respect the fact that they probably don't want this to be a drudge topic. Two things. One, really quick, if you are one of those people who is on social media and you are talking about how much this person means to you, and you haven't watched the series or you haven't indulged yourself in any of his creations, kindly do me a favor and just fuck off. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of posts from people who have no investment whatsoever in Dragon Ball Z, no investment in Toriyama's works. And I want to point out really quick for transparency's sake, that includes me. Okay. So I'm not being a hypocrite here. And I'm seeing people write these very flowery essays. And I think it's really touching from a human standpoint that we are showing someone who has passed a lot of respect. But at the same token, a lot of the respect feels shallow. And I'm seeing a lot of capitalization mm-hmm. in the anime, in the manga community, of people capitalizing on this person's passing yeah. to look like they are some superior moral figure. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of fucking sick of it, which is why we're not going to talk about it extensively today. This yeah. is going to be I'm going to say my piece. I'm going to walk away and that'll be it. But if you are one of those people who is pushing this narrative of, oh, I was personally touched by this person. Oh, but I haven't seen DBZ. So, you know, stop, yeah. please. You're not adding to the conversation. Now, to the human side of it, I think it's a huge loss for the anime community. I think from what I have read of folks who knew him and from people who have personal experience with his work, he was apparently very highly respected and his passing was very unexpected. Mm-hmm. So I can see why it was such a shock and why it's dominating the news. Yeah. But let's just keep the conversation respectful and not try to capitalize on it for our own benefit. And here we are talking about it, but like I said, mm-hmm. it's not going to be in the title. I'm not going to focus on it. That's not what this yeah. podcast is about. May he rest in peace. And yeah, we'll move on. On to your pop culture item.
yeah, on a happier note, I'm going to start with Wicked Donald's because I had very strong opinions about Wicked Donald's yesterday.
It returns for the second week. Yes.
So everything that I said last podcast, which if you didn't listen to, go back and listen to it.
Please do. It was a great highlight episode. Yeah. It was so good.
I still believe and am in full support of everything I said last week, and nothing has changed my mind in the slightest. However, I watched the second episode, which I don't know if they were planning on doing this or if they just got so much backlash that they decided to do this, but they actually uploaded all of their stuff. They're uploading all the episodes for free, so you no longer have to pay for an ad, thank God. And they actually uploaded the Japanese, which is kind of nice. Yeah. Episode 2, I kind of liked it. It was still an ad, but it wasn't, we have sauce, buy sauce. Oh my God, I need sauce. Please have sauce. Buy sauce. End of ad. This one was like two characters actually loved each other. They got really excited. He had the sauce and he's like, oh my God, I love you. And then she was like, I love you too. And then he's like, oh, I was talking about the sauce. And they're like, oh, but I still love you anyway. Oh, and then they kiss and it's all cute. And then they tell you to go buy the sauce.
What a fucking rat. What a highlight.
It was awesome.
Your pitch for sure is what sold me on yeah. having to go and watch that now.
It's honestly, it's really cute. Also, the animation is drawn nicer this way.
Okay.
In the second one. It's probably worth it. I am foreseeing that the last two are not going to be good just because it's Mecha and I don't remember what the other one was. But I would imagine they are going to fit more into like the first one. At least yeah. the love scenario, you don't need a whole lot of story. Like we already understand that these two characters are in yeah, love.
Cute couple and aww.
And then they're having yeah. a little date at McDonald's. Whatever. Yeah. That was cute. That one I would say is probably worth a watch. The other one's like, yeah, I'm going to, no. Next thing, I talked about this two episodes ago.
Yes.
I was buying from a new company called Otaku Owlet.
I'm looking right on the table. It's like, oh. Yeah.
Well, just quick recap. I want to buy a figure of Marin from My Dress Up Darling. I don't like the hypersexualized ones that they right. have all over the place. And there's this really, really cute one, that they made of her, like in her, sort of
cosplay?
Like no she's just got like a big chunky hoodie like warm like house
everyday
clothes.
Sort of okay yeah.
yeah like she's at
oh
house.
Like when they were watching the movie
mm-hmm. yeah.
her like cuddle clothes I don't know what else to call them
yeah just around the house yeah. comfort clothes and then she's like sitting on a chair and she's all grinning and smiling and I'm like it's so cute but it's not being sold in the US. I found a Otaku Owlet who imports all their stuff and so I wanted to do like a quick test run to see if they're like worth
yeah.
buying, which I was pleasantly surprised yeah. by. First of all, what caught my eye was the branding, which as a graphic designer was a big plus for me because scams don't spend money on that type of shit.
Yes.
The second thing was their website. And as a web developer, again, I was extremely surprised because their shit is actually like really complicated. The way that they manipulated Shopify to like do what they're doing, I'm actually kind of at a loss for words. I don't know how they did that.
Now, if they're Japanese, what you're saying is you want a job.
Yes. So that was already, so I had two green flags going into it, but I still wanted to test it. I bought an Inosuke figure that ended up being out of stock. They immediately sent me an apology email and refunded me, which is another green flag. And then I was just kind of casually like, I just need to buy something because I still want to see what their shipping process is like. So I just bought this random figure that I'm going to talk about in a second. But again, their shipping was pretty quick, I would say. It took about a week for them to a work week to process everything and send it out to me, which I think is good.
Yeah. Especially for an import. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as far as the packaging goes, they had bubble wrap that they completely encased my figure box and taped. So it was totally securely covered. They then laid bubble wrap in the box, like in the shipping box, laid the figure box inside of it and then filled the rest up with like the pillow.
Make sure it can't move. Yeah.
To make sure it can't move. And then like triple taped the box together. So
that's really good.
I don't know if they do extra for international shipping, but at least for domestic, that's an easy recommendation. If you're looking for it, like, you know.
Yeah. All right.
They're worth. Now I'm gonna move on to the figure that I bought. See, because I was looking for something quickly to, you know, test out the company, I was just kind of like looking for something cheap that was cute enough that I would kind of want to own it.
Yeah, because you don't want to spend $200 and be like, oh fuck, they're
right.
Scam.
Well, plus everything that I want is on pre-order right now, I wouldn't have gotten it till late year or early next year. So anyway, I've been wanting to get into Miku stuff because every time I see a Miku figure, the fact that they almost seemingly have open range, it's just like, we're using your IP to sell our idea.
you know? Oh yeah. Well, she is, I don't know if you know this, but she's technically almost a variety of public domain in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because Yamaha, her creator, because the creator of the Vocaloid the setup, basically licenses their Vocaloid on a sort of, you can profit from this if you want, as long as you don't change or alter them in any significant way. Even though that's funny, because you're about to mention.
They kind of do. But
they do, yeah.
Anyway, I love the large variety because you can almost always, whether you're into Miku or not, you can almost always find something where you're like, I like this collab or I like the way she looks or whatever. Yeah. So they have a Wonderland series, which is a pop-up. So this figure was $20.
Woo!
And nice. I just got to say, there's good and bad that I'm going to talk about for this figure. I'm just going to get the bad right out the way because it's honestly so small. This figure... Every single figure has come out with the right hand being extremely malformed. Because it's a cheap molding and everything, and the way her hair lays over her hand, they can't exactly mold the hand. And so a lot of times the plastic ends up like going through. So like my Miku has an extra long thumb, and some of the filling didn't make it all the way under the finger. So she's got like, almost looks like somebody took a bite out of her finger.
Yeah, I saw that had like a rough edge.
But that being said, I seen like a lot of people online that were like, they're like, I just took some scissors to it to cut it down. And then like, if you want, you could take some like putty or something.
File it away. Yeah.
The thing is, it's kind of behind her hair and I'm just going to put her in the back behind another figure. So like, unless you're deliberately looking to see the malfunction, you're not going to notice.
But also how much?
It's $20.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It.
I've seen.
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna get into the good now because this figure, as far as the design and build of it, minus the hand, it's a hell of a lot more than $20 worth.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember when you first got it. I think I quoted you at 70 or 80 was my original. Mm-hmm. Assessment
it looks like
of
it. Yeah,
because it looks.
First
very
of
good.
All, the stand, in the product photos, it was just a clear stand, nothing on it at all, just clear. The one that it actually came with. Is this opaque pink with an actual design all the way around it. It says Wonderland. It's part of the Wonderland series with little sunflowers, and it's like got a lattice behind it and some vines and stuff growing on it, which is kind of crazy. Again, $20. Why did you spend the time to design and print?
Yeah.
The stand part. Yeah. That's crazy. Also, just the overall build of it. Like, she looks really, really nice. She's nice and smooth, painted very well. The dress is like very detailed with multiple layers. It's not just plastic that's been painted on. Like, they actually multiple layered the dress.
Yeah, like she has her outer skirt and then she's got like an underskirt.
And like a little jacket. Not really a jacket, but like an over blousey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women's fashion, hair, not our shtick.
Yeah, I don't know.
The hair is what's impressive to me.
The hair is insane. So she is based off of Rapunzel and she still has her classic like pigtails, but they're like a chunky braid instead of just the straight hair.
And very long.
And super long. And the thing too is the plastic is, it's hard plastic all the way around except for the very ends, which kind of go into like an opaque plastic as well, but they actually like move.
Yeah.
So you could kind of like sit there and play with her hair if you wanted to.
Creepy. No, I'm kidding.
It's fun. But no, she's absolutely gorgeous. And I would have certainly paid way, way more for her. I kind of do wish that the hand, well, if I was going to pay more, I would have liked the hand to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
But again, for 99% of this thing is, it should have been like quadruple the price. Also, one of the telltale things that I've noticed on cheap figures is their face.
Oh, absolutely.
The face is always garbage.
Absolutely.
But this one, this is a nice ass face. She's got an.
Yeah. And roll credits on that. Nice ass face.
She's got a nice ass face, boy. No, but they actually like, so her mouth is actually modeled in there. It's not just painted on. She actually has like an indented mouth.
Yep.
The eyes are painted, or actually they're not even, they're like printed on.
Yeah,
and
they're probably decals.
But they're like perfectly spaced and everything. Like, I've got my Marin figure is the same way, but her eyes are like wonky. And actually my Nezuko one has also got wonky eyes. And I paid more for both of those than I paid for this one. So overall,
yeah.
If you're looking for a Miku figure, just be aware of the hand portion. But the Wonderland Rapunzel is absolutely worth the money. And I'm going to look into some of the other Wonderland stuff. They have a Puss in Boots one that is really cute that I kind of want.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So, positive, crazy, awesome reviews of figures aside. On to our next section, which we call Oldies with Moldies. And I'm going to be reviewing the second part of an anime I started a couple weeks ago called Full Metal Panic. This is season two now, Full Metal Panic Fumofu.
Oh.
And I thought I had a reverb up there for a second.
That sounded like it.
Just my own backlash off the fucking living room. Yeah. Damn.
There's this like classic clip from that, I think it's from the second season at least, where they're like all lined up and the main guy comes out and he's like, show me your war face, and they all start screaming.
Yeah, the bear. Yes, that was from Full Metal Panic Fumofu. Yeah, Full Metal Panic Fumofu has a ton of very gifable.
I tried to make a joke and it missed, but that's okay.
Oh, Full Metal Jacket. Oh, yeah. Except that they do this stuff. I don't think they did Show Me Your War Face, but they did line them up a couple times. Because the whole joke. Okay.
I've never seen the anime, which is the joke. So I was trying to. Every time we talk about it, I try to relate it to a different Full Metal blank.
Well, you kind of.
Last
week you did the fucking brothers. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
I tried to do that again. Apparently, I made a joke that was just in the show and failed.
It sort of is. Okay. So Full Metal Panic Fumofu. Full Metal Panic.
I've been sitting on that for like 3 weeks.
I'm glad I
this is the first time I ever had a joke where I'm actually kind of sad.
I'm glad we could get you some blue ball relief. Anyway, on to the review. So Full Metal Panic Fumofu, second season of Full Metal Panic, which is a mecha rom-com anime. And Full Metal Panic Fumofu goes completely off the rom-com end. For this season, they said, fuck it with seriousness. We're not going to have anything serious. We're going to go completely in the comedic direction. And it's brilliant because the whole gimmick of the season is very easily summarized. What if Sosuke Sagara, the main protagonist of the series, tries to protect Chidori, the love interest, but he has to wear a bear furry costume.
Yeah.
And he has to do everything that he normally does in a bear costume. And honestly, that was probably the end of the elevator pitch that these animators had in 2003. They just went... That's it. That's it. It's protagonist, put him in a fursuit like at Disney World and done.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you wouldn't think you could drive a lot of content about this Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
there is a shit ton of content. And the whole Panic from Mofu, again, I can't get too in-depth with the review because the whole shtick is season one's antics mm-hmm. of rom-com, awkward, autistic military brat guy who's actually, you know, a secret spec ops soldier.
Yeah.
Shoulder. Spec ops soldier. Man, talking is hard. At least slowing down has made me talk a little better. But spec ops soldier discovers how difficult it is to protect his target when his target lives a normal life.
Yeah.
And she's not a celebrity or anything. And then yeah. season two goes, well, now it's not just hard because she lives a normal life. It's hard because she lives a normal life and now you're in a bear fursuit. This is going horribly. So it's great. It has an eight. It has pretty much a straight eight on my anime list. And I ended up giving it a 9. It's outrageously funny. It's mm-hmm. it's honestly a great standalone season if you're one of those people who's like, well, I want to test the waters on it. Mm. Go for it. You wouldn't be missing much. And it's really important, though, if you watch season 3. So Full Metal Panic, the second raid, I will probably review that 2 weeks from now because that'll be my follow-up to this one.
Yeah.
That's the third season of Full Metal Panic. And I'll group second raid and Full Metal Panic season 4. I can't remember the mm-hmm. subtitle.
Yeah.
I'm going to group them for a very specific reason. But season 3 comes out of the deep dive that is rom-com and goes square into the other pool. Mm. And it's genuinely from onsen hot spring to ice cold pool. And the shock is incredible because the third season, the scriptwriter sat down and went, we're depressed. We need to talk about harsh, gritty topics. And it's a great season. It honestly is. So this season is a perfect setup to that. But yeah. Full Metal Panic from Mofu came out in 2003, rated 8, definitely. Check it out.
Nice.
And before we move on to serious shit, it's time for our favorite section, things we think are
fucking dumb.
Nice. I'm
going to switch it up every week.
Oh, you know, it's fine. Variety.
Yeah.
Seasonal allergies. oh, dude. So where we live somewhere in the Southeast U.S. We'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And where we live, for whatever fucking reason, this area is obsessed with cottonwood trees.
Yeah.
And they're not native to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they were native to a place we used to live.
Yeah.
And I was like, no problem. I'll leave this place. I'll never have to die to fucking juniper and cottonwood ever again. Cause no fucking idiot is ever going to plant this ugly ass, horrible bark, just ugly looking tree.
Yeah.
No one's going to plant this dumbass tree that snows white fucking cotton puff pollen all over the place. No problem. I'm moving to an environment that won't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire street outside our house is just lined with.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you know what would make our area seem really cool and fun?
These ugly ass trees.
What if we're going to import trees just so we can see how culturally diverse we are.
diverse allergies, more like it. But I've just been dying. I also hate it because for seasonal allergies, it's not like allergies to tree nuts or foods or, you know, like I was just having some allergies. I'm feeling better already, as you can probably tell. Today I was stupid and I had some soy sauce with my lunch and that's fine because I'm deathly allergic to soy and corn, but only if it makes contact with my bloodstream.
Yeah.
And I had a cut in my mouth. So I found out the hard way that, look, I'm allergic to soy after all. So I had my sniffle session at the beginning of this episode. And by the time I'm done, I'll probably sound more or less normal. Yeah. But I accept that. Seasonal allergies, you can't fucking escape from because no matter how hard you try or how fast you run, you're going to get fucking hit.
Yeah.
And I just hate it. So, fuck that shit. Anyway, we are going to take a brief break and then we will be back after no messages. Well, at least not yet. Commercials. We don't even have ads yet. Interestingly, we're already driving enough basic listenership to probably begin looking into it, but I'm honestly not in a hurry. I've kind of enjoyed the growth process.
Yeah.
By the way, if you are listening to this, no matter where you are, please consider subscribing. And like, I don't whore myself out too much for socials or that sort of thing, because I understand that not everybody cares or uses these things. But we do ask if you don't mind checking us out on Threads. Mm-hmm. Our name is the same everywhere. It's Shinigami Love Apples in some format.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have a period in there or an underscore. Nine times out of 10, a quick search will find us for you.
Yeah.
But we're on Twitch. We stream all of our recordings live. So please do check them out. It's a great way to interact with us, and kind of, we have a pre-stream hangout where we just goof off and do dumb shit. And then we have a post-stream hangout where we bring up all the topics from the podcast and allow our listeners and viewers to kind of bring their opinions, and we have a nice spirited debate. And it's pretty fun, honestly. And a lot of those comments and ideas and suggestions and everything end up on the podcast in some way. So it's a great way to kind of interact with us and drive the content. Check us out on Threads. Threads is our primary social media. We are not getting into the Twitter cesspool. Don't ask. We're not ever doing it. It's not worth it. So check us out in Threads. That's the best place to get like daily updates. And we're pretty bad at it.
Yeah.
I'm a horrible social media manager. So is you. Mm. I don't feel the need to post, and I'm kind of slowly beginning to understand some of like social media marketing. It's not my strength. If it's your strength and you're listening, holler at us. We could always use help.
Yeah.
I can't pay you. Just saying.
Yeah.
But if you just want to volunteer, great. Awesome. Appreciate it. But check us out on Threads and then Instagram. Every now and then we'll post a picture. We really should post pictures of the figures and stuff we buy there, because that's a great.
Well, we also promised like six episodes ago we would take pictures of the paintings that we just hung.
Oh, yeah.
Been sitting on the floor for however long.
All right. There's our backpedal. We will get to that hopefully today or sometime this week. And I'll
take a picture of that. Definitely take a picture of the Miku and the Mona, since we talked about it. Yeah.
So that way you can find us on there. Anyway, on to the section that we enjoy talking about the most. We don't say our favorite, because saying you like shit the most is, it just implies you're a shit eater.
Like, we're flies.
We're just drawn to shit. Wow. Okay. That's horrible. Anyway, this is the serious shit section. So as always, opinions are our own. They can get pretty spicy. If you are easily triggered by sensitive topics, now's the time to dip out, and we'll see you next week. Otherwise, buck up, buttercup. Yeah, I guess it works.
Yeah,
buckle up, buttercup. We got some fun stuff, and today's topics specifically are going to be video game oriented. So if you're a gamer, you're in luck. It's going to be a fun afternoon.
So the thing I wanted to talk about, there's a new game coming out. It's in beta right now. It's called Wuthering Waves. It's
okay.
It's basically Genshin, but made by a different developer. The thing is, it's getting a weird treatment. So I wanted to bring it up because this has happened in the past, right? When back in the day when WoW was a thing, every new MMO, they would come out and be like, this is the WoW killer. Instead of just being like, this is another MMO if you want a different option, or if you just want another game to play or whatever.
Yeah.
The problem with that was that every single time any MMO came out, whether it was good or bad, did not matter. The fact that everybody went there specifically because they wanted to see if it would kill WoW and be the saving grace, because we're sick and tired of WoW, blah, all this shit, and everybody started throwing their hands in the air and screaming and hooting and hollering, and then they'd play the game and they'd be like, oh, it's just a fucking MMO, I hate this shit. And you're like, bro, just if you want a new MMO, play the new MMO. If you don't want the new MMO, you don't have to play it. It's fine.
Yeah. This was something I saw when Stardew Valley came out.
Yeah.
Because Stardew Valley was, for most people, they were like, oh, it's modern Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
And same thing was like, oh, this is going to kill Harvest Moon, and Harvest Moon, the IP is dead. Hell, Planet Coaster did it. It's a Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
And it's like, in Planet Coaster's scenario, it made sense to call it the Roller Coaster Tycoon killer, because Roller Coaster Tycoon had truly tanked itself out. It was dead. Atari didn't give a flying fucking shit. They had ground it to dust.
Yeah.
There was no reviving it. And Frontier just went, and they, as the original developers, Frontier went, well, here's a chance for us to make what we wanted to make all along. And it worked great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just took a look at the website for Wuthering Waves. Wuthering Waves. Yeah. Wow. And yeah, I feel the same way. If someone wants to shit on something because it's similar, it's like, it's not, though. If I want to have a Pepsi,
I have a Coke. I have more to go about this, because what you're getting into is not the point that's being made.
Ooh, what's your point?
Okay. Well, we'll get there. You're jumping the gun pretty hard. My point with the WoW killer thing is that all these MMOs died because they were supposed to be the thing that takes over for WoW, not an alternative or an extra.
Okay.
Next point. Souls-like games. At the height of Dark Souls, everybody and their mother was making these really difficult hack and slash RPGs. And every single time people would be like, this is the Dark Souls of X, Y, and Z. And again, all of those games, whether they were good or not, got completely shit on because people are like, Stop comparing your fucking little baby game to our more manly, masculine game because it's harder and it has scary visuals instead of the more cutesy video, you know, whatever. You see the whole thing. The thing that saved this, though, is people stopped saying this is the Dark Souls of X. They started saying it's a Souls-like.
Yeah.
Great. Now we established that this is a genre. You're going to play the game. It's going to be difficult for the most part. It's going to look different. But if you like that style, then you play our game. Great. That saved the Souls-like genre. Now back to Genshin and Wuthering Waves. Genshin Impact, it's a little different for you and I because we're newer to the game and we're kind of in the honeymoon phase. We're having lots of fun with it. Nothing can go wrong. A lot of the people who have been playing it for the last couple of years, though, especially in like the streamer influencer verse, a lot of them are kind of upset with the way things have gone. And I don't personally know what all that's the gripe is. Again,
yeah,
I'm new to it. I'm having fun with it. I don't have any problem with like the rewards and how expensive or not expensive it is. Okay, I've spent like what, $10 on 2 welcomes?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm gonna spend some money when Nuvlet comes out. Sue me. But there's a lot of people who are upset about the way things are in Genshin. Wuthering Waves is coming out now, and it seems like so. There's kind of twofold. For one, it's almost just a direct copy of Genshin, but not really. It's just a Genshin style game, which is my point with the demon or like the souls like. Mm-hmm. I don't Genshin like is kind of a stupid way to say it, but we need to have some sort of tag to say like this is a similar style game. On the other fence, you have all the people who are upset at Genshin and Hoyoverse who are like, yeah, this is the saving grace. Look, they're listening to us because they have like a lot of things that they're introducing are things that people have been complaining about in the Genshin sphere. So like, these are the true developers. They're going to, it's the saving grace. They're actually fucking listening to us and pushing forward. And it's like, no, they're not. I mean, maybe a little bit just to capitalize on some things, but like really you have two games that are in a similar genre. You can play both of them and be happy with both or one or the other or none. It doesn't matter.
Especially in the free to play sphere.
Yeah.
There's very little you can do either as a content creator or just as a customer. There's not a lot of griping you can do. It's free content. In fact, I remember when I was, I always do the version surveys.
Yeah.
And I'm probably one of the few people who actually drops a couple paragraphs in the comment section in the hopes of, hey, you know, I hope someone reads this and gain something useful from it. And one of the questions they really hammered on this last survey, and I know you took it, was do you enjoy the grind? Do you enjoy, do you feel like you're being rewarded enough and all this other stuff? And I think content creation makes you a bit cynical about the content you create, right? Yeah. If as an entertainment technician, for example, myself, if I made content exclusively about that, inevitably, because of how much investment I have in that sphere, I'm going to feel very strongly on it, even if I should probably lighten up. Maybe I'm just a little bit too serious about it. And I've watched, I think this is one of the reasons I've had a hard time watching, I don't want to say just Genshin, because it's, I'm including Honkai Star Rail as well. And Honkai Impact Third. I don't have anything against those content creators, and a lot of their videos are funny or entertaining. But there is a lot of, get shat on for this, but there's a lot of muckraking and pot stirring and drama poking and
you have the Hoyoverse creators that like the games and are happy about it. Then you have the ones that don't seem to like the games and just complain about it and then get clicks off of the complaining.
Yeah. And the thing for me is both this and Wuthering Waves are free to plays.
Yeah.
These are, hey, if you like this kind of content and you want to play it, come play it.
Yeah.
It's no different than mobile games or anything. Honestly, actually, I guess they were originally designed as mobiles, but you get my point.
The
thing is, when you know, I've definitely heard comments now, not about Wuthering Waves. I've heard comments just between like Honkai and Genshin.
Yeah.
I heard someone once say, Honkai is Genshin, but in space. And I thought to myself and I went, okay, ignoring combat systems and gameplay style and characters and everything, it is difficult in any creative sphere to create something that is so completely original that it doesn't look like you borrowed from something else. Take Stardew Valley, back to that example, right? Stardew Valley's concept of here's farm, fix farm, marry someone, here's a dog, here's a horse, secret mystery about your town, solve the mystery. Yay, everybody loves you.
Yeah.
it would have been difficult for Concerned Ape, the developer, to have innovated so completely that you would go, wow, it's like Harvest Moon, but not related at all.
Right.
There was no way. He was going to have to borrow some concepts just because it was what people knew.
Yeah.
And the comparison was going to get made no matter what because it had similar concepts. Well,
just, if something works, don't change it.
Yeah, and like I said, I have the Wuthering Waves website up, and it looks very Genshin-like.
Yeah.
But I, you know, now that you mentioned that there's a beef about it, I don't think there needs to, I don't understand either. I'm looking at this, I'm going, what's the problem? Yeah. Play the goddamn thing.
That's why I brought up the WoW killer thing, because we're comparing and fighting, we're not just comparing, we're fighting each other because I'm the Genshin guy. No, I'm the Wuthering Waves guy. It's like, all you're going to do is kill Wuthering Waves because you're going to go into it with a bad mindset.
Well, and you're dooming the fucking developers. You fucking doomed them. Yeah. There's nothing they'll ever be able to do to please you.
The people who are pro Genshin are going to go, no, fuck that game. They're stealing from my game. And the people who are anti Genshin are going to go there and then get upset when they realize it's going to have the same model. Like the developers need to make money. So all the things you're going to complain about are only going to go so far. And you're going to continue to complain until they can't accommodate. And then this game that might be really fun is going to die.
Yeah. And that has been, and you know, I actually, the more I play Genshin, the more I actually want to be a HoYoverse partner. I really enjoy their storytelling. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy their game dev. I enjoy their mini games. I see a lot of passion project. You can argue this, and I'm not saying you, but I mean like the general community. You can argue with me all you want that they're just a greedy corporation who spend a lot of money on a big ass product and they're just there to, fine, we live in a capitalist fucking society.
Yeah.
I get it. I really enjoy the content. I have not found the grind prohibitive, and I have a full-time job with a family to take care of. I have not yet found issue. I don't think I will because I can keep perspective.
Yeah.
At no point will I look this free-to-play in the face and go, I expect more of you. Mm-hmm. I don't expect shit. It's a fucking in fact, that's how we even got into it. I remember I refused to get into Genshin ever. I didn't want to play it. Because I went, no, it's a grind game. It's got fucking microtransactions out the ass and loot crates and gambling and stupid.
Yeah.
And then I watched Maxor's video, hilariously, which is what got me into it. And Maxor went, yeah, it's got it, but it's got memes. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I went, oh, you know, maybe it is fun and maybe people are just shitting on it. And then I played it and it was great.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Wuthering Waves. I already love the art style. Mm-hmm. I already love some of the character design. I don't care if it's similar to Genshin. I'll fucking play it. I don't care. Yeah. But
again, I like Genshin, and I want to play more Genshin-style games.
Yeah.
I now have another game that is a Genshin-like, quote-unquote Genshin-like, from a different developer, different story, different art style. I'm excited to play it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to play the beta right now just because like the beta looks a little clunky. I want them to kind of flesh some things out, but I'm excited for it.
Well, and like I was, you know, my finishing conclusion to my side of things is at no point am I going to lose perspective on the fact that this is a free-to-play game that the developers are desperately trying to find the perfect balance for. At the end of the day, as someone who works in the tech industry, and you work as a web dev, so you know how this goes, when you work in any tech business, it is a service. You are providing a service to a customer. It is extremely difficult to understand how you're going to get value on the, how you're going to get return on it. It is so fucking impossible. I can't tell you how hard it is for me as someone who works in the concert and live music and entertainment industry to put value on this. It's not easy as ticket sales minus expenses equals profit.
Yeah.
That's not how it works because you're coming to an experience.
Yeah.
Was it like, should there have been more pyro or should there have been more, I want to say audio. That sounds really silly. More lighting or should there have been lasers or should there have been this? There's so many elements to quantify and you struggle both in a creative and a technical sense to create a package everyone will enjoy and still not break your bank. Mm-hmm. And for Genshin, on the absolute magnitude that it exists, a game larger than Just Cause 3 and 4. When you have something this massive and you have this large of a player base and this high of a set expectation, plus the fact you're a Chinese company, so now you're fighting an uphill battle against politics. Mm-hmm. There are so many obstacles for HoYoverse to have to fight that I am never going to lose perspective on that and then shit on them because, oops, they had a little moment. Like this past banner, garbage. Absolute garbage. Both the Zhao and the Miko, unless you wanted them specifically, and they're your playstyle, great, good for you, but for me, there was no value in it.
Miko is at least an A tier.
Yeah.
And like, I guess Zhao's technically B.
But still.
The four stars were fucking F.
Horrible. Yeah.
Garbage.
But like, but at no point did I look at that and go, those fucking ass, dumbass devs. No, dude. No. Okay. For every amazing banner, there's going to have to be a shit one.
If anything, it was
one.
A great way to save up for the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost like, oh, I got a break. I get to wait for a month.
And like, call me, let me put my tinfoil hat on, you know, but like, the next banner is kind of crazy. So it wouldn't surprise me if
the next banner sucks.
Or no, sorry. The second phase of the
second
next.
Phase is really good. Yeah.
It's really good. So, you can't tell me that Hoyoverse didn't
sit down
you,
they're kind of giving you a whole month and a half
to save up
for the thing that people actually want.
You can't tell me Hoyoverse didn't think about that. Sit down to me and go, guys, we've got this crazy banner coming up in 4 or 5 weeks and people are going to roll like fuck for it. And sure, we're going to get people who are going to spend money. That's awesome. Yeah. That's our business model. But we're going to get the free to players who really don't want to spend the money, who are going to be upset that they can't get enough primos. Yeah. How do we do this? Are we going to increase primo earnings? Are we just going to start dropping primos from the sky? No, because then we lose our profit model.
Yeah.
I know what we'll do. We'll make banners that are kind of dog shit. Mm-hmm. And at least the players who are paying attention are going to go, well, maybe I should save because this isn't what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And for you and I as free to players, even though we do, you know, like Walken and everything, it worked. It's going to work. We're going to get to that second phase. We're going to roll on the banner. We'll probably have 10 to 20,000 primos by then. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. I'll have a great time. And I won't bitch. If you're one of those people that's rolling every fucking banner every time you've got 10 wishes, well, okay, then you're going to be disappointed, I guess. I don't know what to say.
That's the thing that I was pre us playing Genshin, I had played it like day one. I played it for like an hour. I wasn't in the headspace.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I was balls deep into the war zone. Yeah. I was balls deep into war zone.
Yeah.
So playing cutesy little anime game, I was just like, I don't know. I kind of just want to go shoot kids.
Whoa, I shouldn't say that.
Whoa. Kids as in adults on a video game that are not real.
Oh, that's. thank you for tuning into our final episode of the Shitty Go We Love Apples podcast. Oh, God.
No, but then I saw a lot of like creators who were telling their chats that they were spending tens of thousands of dollars every single month rolling for this game. So my perception was, oh, I don't want to play this game because the only way it's fun is if you spend thousands of dollars a month. And I'm
CSGO.
Like, who's going to? Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Turns out you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You could spend like five if you want to spend money. I don't know, spend a couple of bucks here and there, like get the Welkin, maybe shell out for the battle pass if you really feel like you need it. Okay, great.
Yeah. So the next thing I want to talk about, kind of piggybacking on just sort of devs and audiences and just the gaming industry being dog shit as always.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read this article's title because I think it really summarizes things well without me really needing to discuss. And then we'll discuss it anyway. But the title from PC Gamer is EA CEO talks AI, says the usual stuff before the bong rip hits. And he starts blabbing about a future where 3 billion people are creating EA's games with it. Andrew Wilson. Oh, I love this guy. He's so great. Okay. EA Games. For those of you who are not into the gaming scene or just not really keeping up with the industry, I'm a huge gamer. And I don't mean that in the sense of like your average content creator on Twitch who's like following everything religiously. Mm. I just consume a lot of gaming content. I spend a large portion of my time playing video games every week. In fact, I would say it's probably my number one hobby outside of what I do related to work.
Yeah.
EA has already developed a reputation as being this very money-grubbing, studio-killing, IP-killing, exhaustively blood-letting studio and company overall. I guess not studio company, but EA has a rep. If you ask anybody in the games world, what's your opinion of EA? It's probably not super favorable.
Yeah.
And the point of this article, and this won't even be that long of a discussion because it's stupid and it doesn't deserve discussion, is the EA CEO came out to say that his whole drive behind getting AI, generative AI specifically, to assist in development was his hope that he could get EA's estimated 3 billion users, which, by the way, wow!
Yeah.
You're really dreaming if you think you're going to get that kind of return. But anyway, he's dreaming of a world in which 3 billion users are going to use EA-built AI generative tools to create EA IP titles that will then be sold for EA's profit.
Yeah.
Bong rip indeed. More like a crack line.
Yeah.
Like, or a coke line, because I guess crack's the crystal shit.
Yeah.
the dude is
two
fucking...
guys who don't know anything about drugs. Make drug reference.
This guy is smoking something far beyond anything on this ethereal plane.
Yeah.
To think that on top of the fact that you're doing something that developers are going to fight against because you want to use generative AI. And by the way, I'm all about AI doing menial tasks. Yeah. I continue to hate the fact of AI doing art or any sort of artistic work. AI does not have the emotion to care. Mm-mm. But we're not going to go, we're not going down that deep end. We'll cover that someday.
Yeah. That could be a 5-hour special. I have so much in being from the developer world. I have a lot.
And I'm in the creative world too. Yeah. So
AI.
But the issue that I have with Wilson is he says users are essentially, his dream is that he can get rid of his development teams because he says, oh, development is this grindy, horrible, stressful process.
Yeah.
So we're going to get rid of the process.
AKA I have to pay millions of dollars to people.
That's the King James Bible version of it, right? Yeah. Where that's the actual translation. That's the Greek and fucking Hebrew. And no, he wants to remove his dev teams from the process. He wants players to build the content they want to see, but he wants them to pay him for it. You motherfucker. If I'm going to create anything, I'm not paying you shit because that's the point of the creative process. If I'm going to mod a game like Fallout London, which looks fucking fantastic, I'm not going to pay Bethesda for the rights to some creation tool when I can just create that shit at home.
Yeah.
And like, this is such a Hollywood mega villain vibe to stand in front of your corporate and non-corporate stakeholders and say, guys, we're going to eliminate all the creativity of the development process. We're going to outsource it. And everyone applauds because money savings.
Yeah.
But then he says the big words that are just the dog shit part, which goes, and we're outsourcing it to the gamers. And then the applause went and stopped.
Yeah.
Because everyone went, wait, we're making the gamers make the games.
Yeah.
And he thinks that everybody wants to, in fact, he was quoted in the article as saying that he firmly believes that EA's player base is so in love with their IP that they will willingly create EA content because they always wanted to join EA anyway. What cult are you trying to create? Are you, what the fuck? Are you fucking Marilyn Manson, you psychopath? Like, No one actually wants to develop for you. Not on that level. Maybe some people like your games. They want to be on a dev team, but they want to get fucking paid and they want to have creative control of their work. And no, gamers do not want to do all this work just to pay you to play the damn thing when it's compiled.
Yeah. But like, what this is the thing.
Fucking crack shit. First of all, bullshit.
Yeah. AI is not at a point, and I don't know that it ever will be at a point.
I don't think
to take over an entire team of people in that regard. It can help you with tasks. It is not going to do all of the creative and technological lifting that the CEO seems to think that it's going to be able to do. But here's the funny thing. If AI does get to the point where regular old Joe Schmoes can just basically type up what game they want and the AI makes it for them, I don't need to pay EA to do that. I'm going to just use the tool that is out there in the world and make my own fucking game. I don't need to pay another company for what am I even paying them for?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's so confusing. But the thing that is that like really like made me laugh is that, you know, we're at like the cap of capitalism when the whole selling point is that we're just going to get rid of everybody. He's like, we've met the ceiling of capitalism, and the only way to overcome the ceiling is to get rid of people.
Labor. Yeah. In the land labor capital equation, we can't get rid of the capital. We can't get rid of the land and the shit we own. So I guess the people are gone.
Yeah, but the,
it's gone.
It's just funny because capitalism requires people to work on things that to get money to then spend on the thing that you made.
Yeah.
But if you remove the people, you remove the money, you remove capitalism, there's nothing left. It's just an empty shell. And what is he doing? It reminds me of the. Sorry, I know we're rambling and it's
past
the hour, but it reminds me of the movie that we just watched. For fucking Dr. Stone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
The Dr. Stone movie, whatever. It's just a long episode. But when they revive the guy and he creates his own currency in a world that doesn't have currency, and they're all just kind of like, what is it good for? And he's like, because I'm going to sell the oil back to you once you dig it up for me. Yeah, yeah. It's like, and they're all just like, well, some of them fall for it because they're all fucking idiots. But all the people who have brains in their heads are like, what?
No.
What
fucking, okay. It doesn't exist. They
ended up just using his own money against him.
Yeah.
In the long run. It's just like, when you actually think about the concept of money and capitalism as a whole, without there being like the big, bad, scary boys like Elon and fucking Zuckerberg and all these people that are like controlling us because of the... At the end of the day, they're just fucking goobers that have extra numbers on a piece of paper somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're all equals. It's just like...
Yeah.
If I stopped paying my bills and everything today, I would go to jail and live for free. That's the irony. I would get free food, free housing, all the things that I pay for,
I'm
going to get for free. Yeah, I get free gym. I get free friends. I'm going to get beat up every now and then. I might
get a free lover.
Yeah, I need to start working on my Kegels. But like, at the end of the day... Everything that I want as somebody who's a bit more pro-socialism communism than I am capitalism, like, if I stop participating in capitalism, I kind of...
Still benefit, yeah.
I kind of still benefit. I mean, it's not as pretty, but...
I think the most interesting thing, before we conclude, is one of our Twitch followers pointed out that live... This is the benefit, by the way, to kind of... joining us live is you get to kind of add some stuff to the conversation. But one of our Twitch viewers pointed out that, hey, in regards to EA always wanting to make content for EA or players wanting to make content for EA, there are plenty of alternative games out there that are direct rips of EA IPs that are better.
Yeah.
In fact, the one quoted here is BattleBit. And yes, BattleBit has existed for what, 3 or 4 years now. And it has vastly better reviews, a vastly larger player base. It's still a paid game, by the way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but nobody gives a shit about the EA IP.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I can kind of forgive this whole late stage capitalism obsession with eliminating every possible expense until nothing but profit is here.
Yeah.
Right. I can kind of forgive that for one reason. There is a special sort of brain required to be a corporate executive in late stage capitalism. You have to drink your own Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go the Bear Grylls route and say, you got to drink your own fucking piss because no one else is going to drink it. Yeah. No one else is going to believe you. You have to believe your own rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And for EA, a company that is suffering and struggling to make ends meet, closing studios, laying people off, struggling to make anything relevant in post Battlefield 2 and 3 era video games, you know, looking at just the dog shit that is the new Battlefield game as an example. EA knows their days are numbered and the content they produce is unoriginal and boring and horrible. He has to believe this. He doesn't have a fucking choice. I don't even care if this was a bong rip or a fucking coke line. The dude has to do that shit. If he doesn't snort it, he's going to show up depressed to his own fucking conference and tell people, yeah, guys, I got to admit, we're kind of out of ideas because we refuse to innovate. We don't want to do something creative. We don't want to hire indies. We don't want to, you know, do anything incredible. We just want to do the same thing we've always done and make more money from it. So if you can help us find a way to make more money, oh, I've got it. Get rid of everybody.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, again, the ironic thing is he's so capitalist that he went socialist. By accident.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get a bunch of people to make the content for me.
I'm going to end capitalism by bringing all the people in and we'll all work it as a collective, AKA the big scary word.
And just to quote, I mean, it's an actual quote outside of the movie, but to quote one of my favorite movies, Kingsman, society is dead. Long live society.
Yeah.
Capitalism is dead. So says Wilson, and long live capitalism. Anyway, that is going to have to be the end of our podcast for today. Some wonderfully spicy topics. Definitely drop us a line at shinigamiloveapples.podcast@gmail.com if you'd like to talk more about the issue, or check us out on Twitch at the same shinigamiloveapples and join us for some of that spicy discussion that you just heard. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 8 of the Shinigami Love Apples podcast. I was Shinigami Pinpin. That was Shinigami Yu Yu across from me, and we will see you next week.